What's the purpose of the dispensation of God? He says that this dispensation of God, he's the minister. He was made a minister by God the Father himself through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ comes down on the road to Damascus and saves Saul, gives him a new message that's never been spoken before, and that's what it's called, the dispensation of the grace of God. And he says that this dispensation of God, this dispensing of truth and knowledge from God is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So the moment that Paul pens 2 Timothy and puts a period there, God's word is complete. Revelation is over. God's not speaking to people today and having them write things and write books and stuff like that. God's not working that way because people misunderstand what it means to be inspired. The words themselves were spoken by God himself. Okay? There can only be one standard. And I've used this before. If you go to school and somebody comes along and says, in this algebra book, I want you to read chapter 1. Well, what happens if you have a different version of that same textbook? Is chapter 1 going to be the same in both versions? Most likely not. It depends on which one you get. But if you have one version of one and another version of another one, and the person comes along and says, all right, so I want you to do the homework on page 43. And in one textbook, there are questions on page 43. In the other textbook, there aren't any questions on page 43. And if somebody's going to be held to the standard of knowing that material that page 43 is assessing, don't you think that it would be good for both people to have the same standard? That they would have the same things on page 43? You better believe it. That's why it's so important for us to know and sure and be sure that there is one version written in the English language for you and I to be held accountable to. And like I said, we can go through all the old things and talk about all the theological exposition, and we can go through and talk about the historical canonical orders, and we can talk about all these other things and say words that make us sound smart. But what it comes down to is I don't trust any other version than the King James. And it's not something that I was taught when I was young. My dad didn't even use the King James version. When I got his Bible and he passed away, I looked at it and I said, what in the world? I had no idea. I thought that he did. I had no clue. So it's not that I was brought up under a King James Christian life, and that's the only reason that I'm standing staunch for it. The reason I am is because I don't trust any of the other books. It's that simple. I do not trust them. And as I said the last time, if you can find one thing wrong with a statement or anything like that, then that says that the entire thing is wrong. That's just logic. It's truthful. So with Revelation, there's one standard. There's one final authority. That final authority is found in the King James Bible for English-speaking people. Notice it's for English-speaking people. If you want to have a translation for somebody else, that's fine. But for English-speaking people, it's found in the King James Bible. Second thing that we want to look at, inspiration. The inspiration of the Word, it produces the words on the page. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, that word inspiration there means God breathed. A lot of people will come along and they'll say, yeah, that word means God breathed. But it's not the words that actually matter. It's the thoughts and the intents behind it. Well, that just tells me that that person doesn't understand their Bible. Because what it's saying here is all Scripture. Every word from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation is God-breathed. You can go back to Acts chapter 9 and you talk about and you read and you find out. It says that Saul was breathing out threatenings. Well, how can you breathe out threatenings? Well, it wasn't he was doing that type of stuff. He was saying words. He was breathing out threatenings, which means he was inspiring threatenings. The threatenings came by the inspiration of Paul, because Paul breathed them out. So then when we come here and we look at verse 16, it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Then we understand that that means that those words on the page are God-breathed. Then that's the issue. The inspiration produces the words on the page. The revelation is where God speaks to man. Inspiration is where man puts it down on the page so that you and I can read, study, and understand what God wants us to read, study, and understand. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Now, a lot of people have a problem with this verse because they like to hide their own doctrines. And they like to be those that do corrupt the Word of God, even though they say they don't. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Peter, in the context, he's talking about the fact that verse 19, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Well, what can be more sure than your eyewitness accounts? Because that's what he's talking about. He's talking about in the context, we saw Jesus Christ and we heard the voice of God saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And they heard it and they saw him. And then Peter says, but we have a more sure word of prophecy. Now, how much more amazing can it be that you have some words written down on the page that Peter says are more sure than him actually seeing it and him actually hearing it and him actually experiencing it? He says, we have a more sure word of prophecy, wherein ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place unto the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Which means, Peter didn't write down the words that he wanted to write down. Paul didn't write down the words that he wanted to write down. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John didn't write the words that they wanted to write down. It's not that they were inspired by God's love that they wrote things down. It's they took God's word and wrote it down. Everybody talks about that the Bible is amazing that you can have one book that's written by 40 authors and they all talk about the same type of thing. Well, the problem is with that is it's a book that contained 66 books, and every one of them was written by one author, and that was God. So that's why it's easy to see that it's talking about the same stuff. Because it's not of any private interpretation. It's not what they did. Notice in verse 21 it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, not what they wanted to do, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They spoke the words that the Holy Ghost told them to speak because he was speaking it. The words on the page. Go back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 36. Take a look at verse 1. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that his word came unto Jeremiah the Lord from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. The idea of revelation is it's God's word to man. The idea of inspiration is it's God's word written down on paper. It produces words on the page. The words are the issue. And that's what he says. Notice what he says. Take of thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto you, or unto thee against Israel and against Judah, and so on and so forth. He says, write down the words. The words being placed on the page by human authors. The next thing that we have, not only does inspiration produce words on page, but it also produces God's intervention. It's God's word is God's word. Go to Jeremiah chapter 36, verse 1 and 2 again. Notice he says, it's take all the words that I've spoken unto you and do what with them? Write them. Put them down on paper. He uses human authors to write it down on paper. Go back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19, verse 7. And this is, of course, if you look up in verse 1, it says, in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. So this is where they had just gotten out of Egyptian control. Verse 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces, notice, all these words which the Lord commanded him. Moses didn't take the Ten Commandments that God told him and said, well, you know what? I think I'm going to write this down because what you said inspired me, but I want to change this and this and this. Notice, he says, he laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. It creates the words on the page. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Notice here, in the context, this is the temptation of Jesus Christ. He had just been baptized by John the Baptist. He's fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Verse 4. Verse 3, we'll pick up there. Verse 3, it says, and when the tempter came to see him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 4, he says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, notice, that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So what's he saying there? Not only are you supposed to live by the bread that you have, but also every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, if you have a Bible that does not have every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, then you're losing something. You're lacking something. You're missing something. And there's an issue there. There's a problem there. And if you don't have a problem with that, then that's fine. But I care too much about the words on the page. And I say this all the time. I'm just dumb enough to believe the words that are on the page are written to me and written about me. And I care about the words on the page because I know it's the words that matter, not the thoughts and the intents of what the people think. One of the strangest things that I've ever thought of, and I've been through college, and I've, you know, I've graduated I graduated high school, probably not the greatest high school in the world, but I graduated high school. I went to college and I graduated college. I've got a master's degree, so it's one of those things. I know a little bit of stuff that's taught out in the world. You're taught out in universities that everything that you read, you're supposed to find out what is it that the author really meant. Well, what do you think that the author meant by this? When the author talks about the blue skies and the white clouds, what do you think the author really meant by that? Well, they probably meant there's blue skies and white clouds. I may have said that backwards, but I don't know. If they're talking about blue skies and white clouds, maybe they're talking about blue skies and white clouds. It might not be the everlasting desire of man to reach his potential. That's asinine. And when you come to God's Word, you don't use that type of thinking. God's Word is important. He has placed it and made it and magnified it higher than His own name. He cares more about His Word than you do. And perhaps you should start thinking about caring more about God's Word. We're going to end off there for today, and we'll pick up with preservation, and we'll talk about some other things as we take a look at this issue of the Bible issue, because it's very important for us to understand exactly what we're going to be judged by. If you're going to be judged by something, don't you want to know what it is? And you may not. And if you don't, that's fine. That's up to you. We thank you for joining us today. And until next time, grace and peace.